It's Adrian B. Little Miss Jersey back at it again here with We Are Jersey Entertainment and Magazine. We are sitting down today with the one and only Ish. You may have seen him on the Joe Budden podcast, but he is also a real estate agent, entrepreneurship mogul. So let's give a round of applause, everybody. Welcome, Ish.
Glad to be here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well.
So let's talk a little bit about who you are, where you're from. Like, what was it growing up?
From here.
Okay.
Well, locally. I grew up in, I lived in Orange, I lived in East Orange, I lived in North. Mm-hmm. High school, I moved to the Burbs, I moved to Maplewood, and then South Orange. So, Essex County. I lived all over Essex County.
Okay. And what was that family life like for you?
I would assume it was the same as most of us, in these neighborhoods, you know. Conditional problems that we all kind of go through. None of us are necessarily at the top of the wealth chain, but you know, just regular problems. My mother did what she could. Most of us are coming from single parent situations, so you know how that is. But again, as I got older, we kind of got out of the hood a little bit and moved to the suburbs. But it's the same problem, same stuff for the most part.
Happy. So how did growing up in Jersey create you to be the product that you are today?
Jersey's tough. With regards to like the cost of living in New Jersey is probably the highest in the country. Mm-hmm. On a statewide level. You know what I'm saying? Even now, the cost of living in Jersey. Our 3-bedroom apartments in the hood are $2,500 in the hood. So to live here, you know how they say in New York, if you could make it here, you could make it anywhere. We 10-15 minutes away from New York. Mm-hmm. So it's the same hustle, it's the same movement, it's the same activities that you got to do to be successful here is comparable to New York. So here, if you don't have any hustle, you don't have any drive, you get left back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's kind of came innately.
So tell us about the many businesses that you had and how you got started in your journey.
On a real estate investment company, on a construction company. I used to do mortgages, doing a lot of stuff. I recently, as we know, jumped into the media space, and I just started doing a fashion thing. It wasn't really my goal. I mean, I'm a clothes fiend, but I started doing a fashion thing. It was a little spinoff from trying to do merch for the podcast,
okay.
And it just took flight, and we ended up somewhere else. But
okay.
I'm doing that too now, so it's a pain in the butt, but
okay.
I'm welcome.
So with all of the knowledge that you had thus far in your career, how are you educating the community about real estate or maybe construction, maybe about even the media industry or the fashion business?
Fashion, I'm learning, so I can't really give any information.
Right. Right.
Construction and real estate are things I'm pretty knowledgeable in. I got bought my first house, I think, in 2003.
Okay.
So 21 years now. In construction, I started a construction company in 2005, so 19 years, respectively. I try to help as many people as I possibly can. I give one-on-ones. I did a seminar for the youth in December at Symphony Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not just myself and some partners, to have the kids start putting the guns down. It was called Options Alternatives, we named it. So we gotta give them an option, we gotta give them an alternative to hustling, to doing whatever they're doing to make money. If we don't give them an option, we talking for no reason. You get what I'm saying? Like, you can't tell somebody to stay away from crime if that's what's paying their bills.
Right.
Or if that's what's putting food on the table, you gotta get them another way to put the food on the table.
Right.
Or shut up.
Right.
So that's one of the ways. But just from the real estate perspective, I do one-on-ones, I do consultations, I do a whole bunch of stuff. I believe that for us, real estate is the main way that you could generate some sort of financial leverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, most of us don't have money. If you want to play the stock market, you got to have your own money to put into the stock market to generate money.
Yeah.
If you want to open a business, if you want to open a sneaker store, you got to stock your store first.
Right.
Before you can sell the sneakers, you got to buy the sneakers.
Right.
So real estate is borrowed money. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So you are buying a $300,000 house,
mm-hmm.
but you might only come out of pocket with 15 grand.
Right.
You don't have to come out of pocket with $300,000, and then you renting those apartments could generate money for you. And I think that's the only way that a lot of us that don't have capital can get to the next level.
Do you have any advice on, like, the housing crisis in its current state right now? I mean, I know that's a heavy question, but what are your thoughts?
That's fine.
No?
New Jersey is unique. We are, especially in this area, we're literally 15 minutes from New York City. New York City has the highest rental market almost in the country. So they're coming over here looking for refuge. You get what I'm saying? So we're unique. Some of the issues and the problems that are going on in other states, like I own stuff in other states. So some of the problems that are going on in other states, we don't have those issues because we just have a constant flow of renters coming from New York. We have a constant flow of home buyers that are coming from New York because even as high as New Jersey is, it's still cheaper than Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? So you still get space. Manhattan, you could buy a one-bedroom condo for $1 million. 700-800 square feet, whereas you could come over here for $1 million and get a 4,000 square foot house with a backyard. You might get lucky with a pool, some walk-in closets, and get some space. Mm-hmm. New York, they don't have that. And so we are in a lucky position, and it's a gift and a curse because it's pushing up all the numbers for the local New Jerseyans that can't afford it. We're pushing them west. Mm-hmm. They're going to Pennsylvania. They're going to Allentown, Bethlehem, yeah, stuff like that. So we're pushing the New Jersey people out for the new to make space for the New Yorkers.
That makes sense.
So our market is on fire. We have no inventory anywhere in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you go south, people are now commuting from an hour away. I own houses way out in western Jersey. The people are driving an hour into Newark to come to work every day
mm-hmm.
because the houses are cheap there, but we still make the money here. So again, it depends on what lens you're looking through. It's a gift for personal investors. It's a gift, but for some of the locals, it's a curse.
That's interesting. So for anybody looking for advice or to, you know, invest into what it is that you're doing and just need some guidance, mm-hmm. like, do you have any resources that you can point the audience to in case they're doing their research?
I read a lot, honestly. Like, Google's free. You know what I'm saying? Like, Google is free. I think a lot of us have to change our mental focus sometimes. Like, you could be stuck on a train and you'll just get lost on Instagram on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You look up, you've been on the gram for an hour and a half. And that hour and a half, you could have been putting something into your brain to get you further off in life. You follow me? Like, I don't really like the excuse that our parents didn't have. That's true. And it definitely set us back. But now, once you know better, you can do better.
Mm-hmm.
So what you put in your brain kinda will yield some results, in my opinion. So I started off, every time somebody asks me, I go to Rich Dad Poor Dad. A 10th grader could literally understand everything that's laid out in the book, mm-hmm. right? I call it the Grail. Rich Dad Poor Dad, Millionaire Next Door, Richest Man in Babylon. Those are like three starter books that I'll put anybody on their path because we got to change our mindset on how we think about money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've been taught to buy the Lexus, buy the Rollies, buy all of that stuff, and we don't own anything. So I think that's a bad thing, especially for our people. I think we need to change that.
For sure. Do your research.
Yeah, reading.
Make sure to utilize Google as much as you can. You know, it's a self-sufficient task. You know, that's basically what we're talking about right now. Any industry that you want to get into, it takes research to get done. And from there, it just manifests. You put together your plan. Like, so what was it like putting together your initial blueprint, right? Like, what are some challenges you faced? You did? You just free walk.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
You're just learning on the fly. Honestly, you can't. Now, I'm older. So I'm 48. So when I bought my first house, I was in my 20s. The internet wasn't the internet that it is today. You follow me? So now you have Instagram, you have this person selling a course, this person selling a course, this person is doing lectures, this one. I didn't have that. I mean, we had a few, but not in the same capacity that it is today. I would have been happy if I had all of those resources back then.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was trial and error, bumping my head, losing money, doing all of those things. I didn't have a mentor that could say, don't do that.
Okay.
You follow me? Like, I didn't have somebody say, no. Don't put the money there. Don't refi. Pull a HELOC. Like, all of those things I learned along the way. So that's why I'm so quick to give because I don't want somebody to bump their head on the same branch that I bump my head on your duck. You follow me? I think it's our duty to do that. So, no, most of my stuff was trial and error.
Wow. That's powerful.
It was some real trial.
That's powerful.
It was some real trials too, but nah, I learned most of this stuff on the fly.
Happy. That's amazing. I'm proud of you for that. I don't know how long it's been since you heard that. I'm proud of you. So let's get into your media personality back, right? As an exclusive person that you are, one that really didn't want to get into sharing their opinion openly like that, you joined as partners with some friends and you ended up on the Joe Budden podcast, which is just like a friend, you know, relationship for you. So what is it like sharing such bold opinions on such a public space?
It's trying sometimes. I try to be as authentic as possible. I don't really try to, I try to be respectful, though, so it's a fine line. You can't just say whatever you want to say because it might be offensive to somebody. It might be hurtful to somebody. So you got to kind of tweak it. Or you got to just kind of find better words to use your vocabulary to convey your point without being harmful. Like, I think it's a challenge in that.
Yeah.
Like, comedians do that. Well, some of them, not all.
Some of them.
But I think that in the world we live in, everybody has an opinion. Some are warranted, some aren't. I think our show, for the most part, we try to be as entertaining as possible. We may touch on serious topics, but we still try to put the funny spin on it. Right? Like, we'll try to help people through their day. Most people don't necessarily like their jobs. Like, we can all agree that most people really don't like their jobs. They go to a job from 9 to 5, do something that's mundane. They hate being there. If they had another option, they wouldn't be there. So for that 3 hours throughout the course of your day, we try to take you to another place. You follow me? Like, put your headphones at your desk. You know this job backwards and forwards. You can do it in your sleep. But let's take you over here on the journey where you're laughing, where you're joking, where you're fighting with us. You're cursing Ish out. You're cursing Ice out. We're cursing Joe out. But we still are entertaining you. We still are trying to give some compelling thoughts to what's going on in the world. You know what I mean? Just for that 3 hours in your day to take you somewhere else. Hopefully. And so I think that's really been what sets us apart from the other podcasts or entertainment avenues. I think we are a little different.
Y'all have a huge platform too, a huge platform. So it just makes me wonder all the time, like, how do you think podcasting benefits our community, right? Like, with the opportunities that you're giving for people to have a form of entertainment, just sharing their voice and, like, going through social dilemmas that not a lot of people are able to get through, you know, what really, to you, is the benefit of sharing and allowing our community to share their voice in such a way? Does that make sense?
Nah, definitely. Okay. Like Google or like the internet, it's free for the most part. So if you watch a business podcast, it's informative.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch comedians, it's funny, right? So there's a benefit in both. They're not the same. The one's over here, the other one's over here, but it's still beneficial content,
mm-hmm.
right? You can watch some, like us, we're kind of in the middle. Like, we'll give you a little bit of it. We'll give you relationships, religion. It depends on where the wind's blowing, what we'll say,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and a lot of our stuff is just organic. Like, we don't have all of the board written down. We'll just start talking, and it'll just go like this.
Okay.
Right? So, we'll end up over here, and we've supposed to be over there, but that's just us. But there are some others that have a little bit more rigid and structured content and programming,
mm-hmm.
but they all can be beneficial. So if your mom and your dad were blue-collar workers, the odds that they're going to teach you about financial literacy are slim,
mm-hmm.
but you can go tune in to a financial literacy podcast and get a ton of information. One of my friends is probably one of the biggest black stock investors in the nation. He's made millionaires off of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You'll buy this. And next year, 6 years later, people are coming up to him, hugging him out in the streets,
mm-hmm.
that they've taken their family out of poverty, right? So
yeah.
I think that, I just think it's a good thing. I think there are relationship podcasts. that tell you how to better your relationship. Men and women oftentimes don't speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hear a man telling another man, maybe you should approach this a different way. You might be more receptive to another man telling you as opposed to how a woman is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everything has a benefit. It's just, you know, contingent upon what you want to put in your brain.
Man, you have me going into a whole different question as you say that just now, because that sometimes is a controversial topic, you know that, right?
Relationships.
The fact that, like, men could be receptive to other men instead of just hearing it directly from women sometimes, like, the fact that sometimes women can be so passionate and it's, you know, misunderstood or misrepresented across so many different demographics, but we ain't gonna go there. We just want to leave that for the... I'm 4'11", okay? I ain't gonna fight you.
I think, again, I just think that all of the content is good. I think, well, a lot of it, not all of it, but it's what you want to listen to.
Yeah.
What you want to fuel yourself with to make your day, you know what I mean? Or your life better. I think we just have a whole bunch of different avenues that we didn't have before. So if you want to get better at health, they have stuff geared toward losing weight, toward physical health and well-being. You can go listen to some stuff that'll give you some information that you may not have had.
Yeah.
And I think that's a blessing.
Yeah, that is a positive takeaway. It is. So now that I'm thinking about it, you know, it does take a lot of courage to offer yourself to the world like this, right? In an industry that likes to make you become who they decide for you, you know, what they want you to be, basically. Mm-hmm. For you to show up so organically and authentic, it makes me wonder, what are the ways that you maintain who you are authentically outside of just meeting you in person? You know what I mean? Like, do you have any, like, tactics that you, or just themes or words of wisdom, affirmations that you reaffirm yourself like, nah, this is ish today. Like, no matter what y'all try to comment under my shit.
I turn them off
now. Okay.
I used to probably the first year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I used to read everything.
Yeah.
I kind of shy away from it now. It could be overwhelming, one. Two, I'm just too busy to really just sit. Because, again, it's a rabbit hole. You'll go down. You'll literally be, and you know, it's 1 o'clock when you start. It's 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
You've wasted 2.5 hours just reading comments of people that don't know you.
Right.
That may never meet you. That are assuming you are this way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's the farthest thing from the truth. So it'll consume you, and a lot of it is negative. Like, one of the biggest and worst takeaways I got from entertainment is that people are really mean, right? And so they'll sit behind a computer, they'll sit behind a keyboard and just shoot the meanest things that they can possibly say. I didn't know that. It's where we were in society.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So that was a real big eye-opener for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could only imagine, like, I'm a Z-list public figure. I can only imagine what Kim Kardashian gets. I can only imagine what Beyonce gets. You hear what I'm saying? Like, people just sitting behind a computer just saying the meanest things that they could possibly think of. I had to get away from that because it'll start to bother. You want to curse them out. You want to argue. You want to prove yourself. You want to tell, no, that's not what I meant. You gotta leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I just, my family, my friends, they are who they are before the podcast. They curse me out, we yell, we argue, we scream. Again, Joe and I were friends before I ever stepped foot on that show. So the way Joe and I argue on the TV, that's how we argue over a Monopoly game. That's how we argue over basketball. That's how we argue. That's a real thing. We don't really say cut into an argument on the camera. We just let it go. It's really honest and real most times. So, I just stay grounded with my family and my friends. I don't really, I don't look at it like that.
Hmm. So do you have any advice for those that may be looking to start businesses with friends? Like, you know, a lot of people saying keep your friends away from your business, two different entities type of thing. Like, what's your perspective on working with friends?
I don't like when people say that.
Okay.
I think that you and I are friends, right? And we make 50, 60K a year. If I find a way that $500,000 a year. Why would I not want to bring my friend along for that journey? Mm-hmm. Right? I think that that's a bad thing. And we say it a lot in our communities. I think that's a bad thing. I think that's bad advice. I do think, though, you should not be foolish in your friendship and not get an attorney. I don't think you should be foolish in conducting business and not cross your T's and dot your I's. Because you can compartmentalize the friendship in the business. Mm-hmm. I can curse you out in business and be like, yo, you hungry? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Like, right. We could do both. And if you guys are really friends, that matters too. If you guys are really friends, I don't think you should be competing with your friends. I think that we can all get money together. I think you should want to get money with your people that you love. I disagree with that premise. I hear it a lot. I hear it a lot in our community. I disagree with it. Mm-hmm. I just think that you got to be smart when you start conducting business with anybody, friend or stranger. You still supposed to be diligent in how you conduct yourself.
Thanks. So it just, with everything going on, it just makes me wonder, like, what you got going on for the next year?
What do I have on?
Yeah, like,
I don't even get sleep.
No.
I promise you.
So what does a day of life look like?
I probably went to bed this morning about 5:30. I was up at 7 something, go get a haircut. I got a chunk full of, like, my days, they just are crazy. I have so many different things going on. I'm trying to acquire more real estate,
okay.
Of course. That's paramount. The entertainment space, I'm learning a little bit more.
Okay.
I'm trying to find avenues where it could be more lucrative. Mm-hmm. Of course, like, now I'm here. So I didn't necessarily want to be here, but now I'm here, so I'm going to try and milk it for everything I can. Again, the clothing stuff is new. It's lucrative. So I'm learning that. I'm taking phone calls. I'm talking to a bunch of people that are trying to advise me on how to navigate that space.
Mm-hmm.
But in the things and the research that I'm doing, it's money there. Of course, I need a couple dollars.
I'm
I gotta feed my kids. So I'm pretty busy. I try to acquire a couple pieces of property.
Okay.
Per year to hold, like, for long term, and then if I can get a flip in or two, I'll try to do that throughout the course of the year too.
So how you stay prepared? You just keep your hard hat with you, your tools with you all the time, fit with you in case you gotta go into the studio.
I try to. I'm getting better at organization. I'm really unorganized. I procrastinate a lot. So that's something I'm really, really, really working on.
Okay.
So my cars are filthy, dirty, like dirty, dirty. You'll look in the back of my car to be. Grout on the floor. It'll be some towel from another job. I just try to get it done. Like, literally, you just got to get it done. You can't really complain about it. It got to get done. You got guys on a job over there that need such and such. You driving your nice car today. What, you gonna go home, get a truck, come back to home? No, you gonna put it on the roof. It got to get done. And that's how I kind of handle it. But I'm trying to be better, a little bit more organized, and make it run a little bit more efficient.
You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
We're always going to root for you and wish you the best of luck.
Appreciate
and
it.
Also tune into the podcast and everything else you got going on.
Don't judge me.
What?
Don't judge me.
Nah, it's a judgment-free zone here at We Are Jersey Entertainment and Culture. We are also joined by some of our partners today. We are sitting in the Good Eats Experience by the one and only I Am Jazzo of Newark, New Jersey, and accompanied by Nivette, the 1804 Haitian Rum. So, we're going to sit here and enjoy good conversation, food, and company, and we'll see y'all later. Bye, y'all.
We are Jersey.
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 We are Jersey.